I thank God for the mountain. I thank Him for the valley. I thank Him for the storm He brought me through. See, if I never had a problem, would know God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in my God could really do. But church, it's been through it all. Through it all. Oh, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Yes, I've learned to trust in God. Through it all. Through it all. I've learned to depend on His word. I've learned to depend on His word.
Judges chapter 2. We're going to go back to verse 6. And it reads like this. And I know y'all thought you were just coming to hear music and no word, but you're going to hear both music and the word. And it's, don't think I'm going to start off preaching and just go to preaching for the next 4 hours, because that ain't going to happen. Well,
it might. We have seen.
And when
that.
Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. I want to speak a little bit tonight about the inheritance that God has given the church. And as I'm going to speak about it, I'm going to speak and sing about it. See, my inheritance is very, very, very rich. I grew up in church. I've been traveling doing this kind of thing since I was 12 years old. This is nothing new to me. I enjoy being in the presence of God's house, in the presence of God's spirit, in the presence of God's people. I enjoy worshiping the Lord with y'all. Amen? So this is nothing new to us. This is just something we enjoy doing. It's something we were called to do. But you see, when I grew up, my mama and my daddy sang. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Heals all my heart and my soul's diseases. No, not one. No, no, not one. How many of y'all know Jesus knows all about our struggles? He till the day is done. And there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. See, my parents entrusted with me a lineage of gospel music. I mean back, we're talking back beyond their years. And Pastor Ron, it wasn't because that they felt that those songs were outdated. It was because those songs spoke to them. Paul and Silas sitting in prison, and it's the 11th hour, and they're sitting there, and they begin to sing praises. I believe some of those songs they begin to sing was from their lineage, from days gone by. Why? Because it spoke to them. And what happened when they began to sing praises? And I don't care if you want to say it was a new song. I don't care if it was an old song. What happened when they sang praises? Their captivity was released. Some of us are wondering why we're so bound in our mind, in our heart, and in our spirit. We're so caught up in everyday life, we forget to stop and just say, I love you, Lord. Some of us have forgotten how to stop and just give praise to God. Some of us remember that we've forgotten now that I've mentioned it. What is that? That's a heritage. Verse 7 reads, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he had did for Israel. I want to stop right there. I don't know how many of you know this or not, but God has been moving in America for quite some time. And there are some people that are even under the sound of my voice tonight that can remember back a day or two ago when things weren't so good in America. It wasn't so easy to just flip on the television and be entertained. Wasn't so easy to flip on the radio and find Christian programming. No, if you wanted to find out about the things of God, you had to go to the house of prayer. You had to sit in a service like this and listen to somebody minister. And some of them were great and some of them were not so great. What are you saying, Brother Mike? I'm saying some of our elders in this house know how to get a hold of God in a time of need because they lived through a time when they had to. Well, Brother Mike, you're just preaching to the elders. No. Here's where you come in. Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord. I'm reminded of 2 Timothy chapter 3. And they will have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Here's what I believe. I believe we've thrown the baby out with the bathwater. I believe that some of those old hymns had some power that we need to tap back into. I believe that some of the older songs that minister to our elders had something more than just lyrics and notes on a paper. They had life. And I believe that if we'll refire them instead of retire them. What are you saying? I'm saying we need to get a few people with a burden for our elders. There are some songs I wouldn't trade for $1 billion. And some of you thought I Am a Friend of God was new, huh? That song was written in 1894. Sorry. Solomon said it best, really. He said, there's nothing new under the sun, no, not anything. Really, what he meant was every concept that's been able to be imagined has been imagined already. Of course, in the last 100 years, we've had the internet and computers, and these are new things, and all they really allow us to do is those things that we shouldn't do faster. When I get started singing hymns, I can go all night. Because how many of y'all know how many hymns we've been singing already? That last one's a hymn, believe it or not. It's called Meeting in the Air. Don't let me walk too far from Calvary. I found the rest of the words in a hymnal. Well, we don't believe in hymnals. You know what? That's fine. If you want hymns to come back, pray for your worship leader that they get a fire and a burden for the hymns. Someone prayed for me.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll,
sing with us, it is well tonight. Come on, church.
It is well.
It is well.
With my soul.
With my soul.
My sin, oh, oh, oh.
Closing. We're nowhere near that. Father, we thank you for this time together in your name. Father, I thank you for your anointing that's here right now. God, I ask if there's any sick among us. God, heal every heartache, heal every physical pain and ache, every headache. Father, heal every cancerous tumor in the name of Jesus. God, we take authority over sickness and affliction in this place. We command them to go. You're not longer wanted here. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Every heart that's broken because, God, they don't know how they're going to pay their bills. Father, let them know you are their provider right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, every mind that's wandering thinking, I don't have time for this. God, let them realize that you're all they have time for. In Jesus' name. Amen. Titus chapter 2. How many of y'all have ever heard anybody speak out of the book of Titus? Very few people have I ever heard speak out of the book of Titus, but it reads like this. Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men, I like that, not the old men, the aged, those who have been younger longer, be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. What's a good thing, Brother Mike? I don't know about you, but Brother Mike likes to eat. There's nothing finer than a homemade lemon meringue pie with the meringue piled high.
Only like Vicky can do it.
And my wife never knew how to make one until about 4 years ago, and that first one she made, she didn't get it thickened just right. And, oh, friends, she felt so bad because it was soup. And a friend of ours, we were down visiting, said, "Oh, honey, just give me a straw. It'll be okay."
I'll fix that the next year.
The next one she made had meringue 6 inches tall on it. Didn't fall, didn't shrink. Oh, hallelujah. Nothing better at this time of year than to start thinking about homemade pumpkin pie. I'm talking about you put your own seasonings in it. Not that stuff that comes pre-mixed. Nothing like taking a bag of Granny Smith apples, peeling them down by hand or by machine, whatever. I don't care how you peel them. I ain't peeling them by hand. I got one of them crank knobbies with a suction cup. You put on the table and it takes the skin off and cores it all at the same time. Run one knife through it and you're done. Because when you're making 9 or 10 apple pies, ain't got time to peel them all by hand. Homemade apple pie. That's a good thing. How many of you who are younger than 30 can make a homemade apple pie from scratch? How many of you younger than 40 can make a homemade apple pie from scratch? Not very many of us can do it anymore, grandmas and grandpas. Maybe it's time that we begin teaching good things. Brother Ron told me the other day that his mama used to make a turkey and stuff it, and she'd also make a coon and stuff it. And I'm just about country enough to want to eat some of that raccoon. I'd love to try that. It's one thing I haven't tried. But he says it's a good thing. How many of y'all know how to cook raccoon? Possum. Hog jowls. I like jowls. I do know how to cook that. Good things. How many of y'all like to walk into a dirty house? Good things. We teach them good things. Why? Because they're our generation coming up. If we don't teach them how to be good at keeping their house one day will fall apart. Hello? Lord have mercy. I know I'm preaching good. Y'all are hating my guts right now. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Pastor Ron, I haven't seen a day and an age coming along yet where we have parents abandoning their children at the rate we do today. Heard a story the other day that they just sentenced a woman, I think it was right here in Iowa, to 99 years for supergluing her daughter's hands to the wall.
As potty training punishment.
Potty training punishment. Beat her within an inch of her life. The maximum sentence was 40 years, and the judge said, "You're never getting out." Thank God for that judge. To be discreet, now, this is why you've never heard anybody teach from Titus chapter 2. Because you're not going to like this verse. But it's the word of God. Somebody say amen. If you don't believe me, look it up. To be discreet, chaste keepers at home. And we're talking about young women here. I believe in today's generation, our young men need to know how to clean up a little bit too. Because I guarantee you, young man, young woman, in under the sound of my voice, if you don't know how to take care of your wife or your husband, you ain't going to have them long. That's just good preaching. I don't care. Obedient. I tell my wife this verse every time. Titus chapter 2, verse 5. Obedient to your husband. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Obedient to your husband. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. God knew what I needed. I want you to watch this. That the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things, showing yourself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. I want you to watch this, verse 8. And this is really what I want to speak about for just only a minute. That he that is of the contrary apart, in other words, your enemy, may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. What are you talking about, Brother Mike? Listen to me carefully, church. The reason we're not seeing God move in our schoolhouses or in our church houses anymore is because mom and daddy got sick of their doctrine, their instruction, going forth, falling on deaf ears, and so they just shut up in a corner somewhere. And shame on us for not listening. And shame on them for giving up. My parents loved me enough to bend me over a knee. My brother and sister, I've got a twin brother and a sister that said, Mike got his 3 a day. Oh, your parents were cruel. Hey, leave my childhood alone. I deserved it. I had my brother on a catapult once. I just about burnt down the barn. I earned what I got. And some of us earned a lot more than what we got. It's just I had two little siblings. Told on me all the time. I love my family. I love the fact that my parents cared enough to not give up on me. God forbid that we should ever move to the place where God says, that's it. I can do no more with that one. But friends, if we're not careful, we're headed there. We have to teach our young people how to become men and women of God. I'm tired of people who say, run to a doctor. There's a young couple in our church. The other day they came in. I had just been to the doctor because I fell on Sister Robin's fence post and needed 3 stitches in my hand. I came into the house and there was a young couple there. Said, we just looked at a home. I said, well, and they said, I like it. Both of them said, I like it. It was the first house they've looked at that they've been in agreement with. And I said, give me that paper and get me some oil and get over here. And they both looked at me like I was out of my ever-loving mind. 2 weeks ago, we anointed that paper. We prayed over that thing. And we believed that if it was God's will, that's exactly what I said. God, if this is your will, make it happen quickly because they need a home. I think they close on Wednesday, sometime in there. You have not, because you ask not. How many times have you ever been sick and reach over and pray for your husband or your wife? My wife was laying there in bed one night. She had a little head cold, and she was breathing so loud I couldn't get to sleep, and it's generally the other way around. And it was annoying me, and it was 12:30 in the morning, and I rolled over, and I put my hand right on top of her head, and it wasn't too gentle, and she jumped. Pitch dark in our room. God, right now, I rebuke this head cold. I command these sinuses to open up and be clear. And they popped open just like that, and were clear. Well, she could have went to the doctor. She could have taken Sudafed. Why? King Jesus knows how to heal his people still today. Why can't we live like the word is alive? I would to God some of my elders would have taken me under their wings and taught me how to get a hold of the horns of the altar and pray until something actually happened. You know what I've come to find out, Pastor Ron, is that the only way you get that kind of faith is having to go through a few things in your life. So if you're under the sound of my voice tonight and you're wondering what all this has to do with you, let me bring it home, and you're still not going to like me, but it's going to be okay. According says the word of God, if we're not careful, this older generation that knows how to call on God because they've had to is getting ready to go on and be with their maker. And this younger generation that's coming up isn't going to know how to get a hold of God because they haven't had to. And all of a sudden they'll remember, hey, Grandma said, Sister Nancy said, if I pray first, things would happen quicker. That short, fat, red-headed evangelist that came through our church that one night said that if I would listen to the elders that God has placed in my life, things might be different in my life. God did not put you in this church by accident, and he did not put these elders in your life without purpose for this season. That's good news. Because those of you that are older than 50, I just told you, God's not finished with you yet.
That's right.
Now listen to me, young people. Why is this so important? This is why it's important. Because one day, should the Lord tarry, you're going to have children. And you're going to start bringing them up in this thing called faith. And there are so many voices out there called faith today that unless you know where you'll stand, you'll fall for anything. Hello? Unless you know how to get a hold of God, unless you felt his presence around you, in you, moving through you, you're not going to have what it takes to stand for the Lord. And there is a day coming that's more so than today when people will have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. Started singing for the Lord when I was 12 years old. Holding revivals when I was 16. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor God's seed baking bread. What I have seen is the wishy-washy brought to poverty. Because sooner or later, God's going to find out what you're made of. I'm sorry, it's just the truth. I want to be made of the stuff that pleases my Lord. Amen.